Tonight we are continuing in this morning's message on what worship is. If we're truly going to be able to touch the face of God, if we're going to be able to have a heart of worship that is able to sense His presence and be drawn closer to Him, we need to know truly what worship is. And in order to know what worship is, we found out this morning what worship is not. We found out the types of worship that God does not accept. That He does not accept ignorant worship or improper worship or idolistic worship. He does not accept inferior worship. I was even going to bring out the story of Moses when he went up on Mount Sinai and they built the calf to worship, but time was running long this morning, so I took that out. I always think that when the things that I put in my notes, if I end up not saying them, then that's not what God wanted me to say anyway. So I'm all right with that. Tonight we're going to look at what true worship is. The first thing that I believe we need to see when we're looking at worship is to know that worship is a response of obedience to God. It is a response of obedience. I'd like to have you look with me tonight into Psalms, the 29th chapter to begin with tonight. Psalm 29. And I want to read just a few verses in the Psalms. Psalm 29, verse 2. Says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Look also with me in Psalm, the 95th chapter. Verse 2 says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Look at verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Look also at Psalm 96. Verse 4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared among all gods. Verse 6, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Verse 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Let's pray tonight. Father God, we thank You that we can come into Your house. We thank You that You want to meet with us corporately. As we join together in singing and worshiping You because You are the one that is worthy of our praise and adoration. We pray tonight, Father, that You might speak to our hearts. And Father, that we might hear a special word from You. We pray, Father, that You would anoint each heart that is here. And Lord, that we might truly know tonight when we leave this place that we have met with You and that You have been here with us. Father, we pray that You would bless us with Your presence and give us insight into Your Word. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. True worship is a response of obedience. God is to be loved. He is to be loved in our lives. When He is loved, we are loving Him and praising Him. We are blessing Him. We are thanking Him. We are admiring Him and admonishing Him to join us and to be with us and to honor us with His presence. God is to be loved with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. And it's really not an option. Nowhere in the Bible did they have the privilege of worshiping or not worshiping. If you were a Jew, you were one of God's chosen people, and because of that, it was your responsibility, it was your responsibility to worship Him and to come into His presence. When you came into the presence of a king, you never came into the presence of a king empty-handed. No. That was very irreverent. When you came into the presence of a king, You wanted to give him the finest that you had to show him how worthy he is and how great he is. Many times when we come to worship, when we come to church, it's a social gathering, number one. Amen? It's all right that it's a social gathering. Years ago, it was a greater social gathering because people didn't get to socialize that much with their neighbors. They worked at home, they worked in the fields and so forth. And so when they came together on Sunday, it was a giant celebration. Kathy and I went to Minsk, Belarus. And after we got to Minsk, Belarus, there were 17 other pastors with us, and they went to different areas. And we went clear down by Chernobyl. The pastor would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. He would get on a train. He'd walk for a long ways. Then he'd get on a train and he'd travel for a couple hours. And then he would get off the train and he'd walk across town. And finally he would get at the church that he was pastoring. And it was a house church. There was like 12, 15 people there. That was it. And they would sing songs and he would read scripture and they would sing more songs and he'd bring a message and they would sing more songs and they would pray and then they would eat and then they'd go back and sing more songs and they would pray and they would sing more songs and he'd preach and they'd sing more songs and then they'd eat again and then they would sing more songs and then they would pray and so forth. I mean, this went on and it was an all-day event. It was a marathon. We're used to going to church and spending the amount of time that we're supposed to spend and then go home and we enter back into the life that we are currently living. We take a pause from our life just to come to church and then we come step right back into our life once again. When Kathy and I got there, we had been praying for several months about ministering to them and how God was going to use us there. And we went up to a dear old lady, and Thera Farmer reminded me of one of those little old ladies. Just a little bitty tiny minute, you know. She probably weighs, what, 80 pounds soaking wet? If that. And I went up, and of course, she didn't speak English. I didn't speak Belarusian. And so I got the interpreter to come, and I said, let her know that we've been praying to come for months. And she started to weep. And she spoke to the interpreter, and the interpreter turned to me, and he said, she's been praying for 15 years. That someone would come. When they would pray, they just wouldn't bow their heads and close their hands. No. If they were seated in a chair, they would get out of that chair, they would get on the floor, they would bow, and they would stay there. And their prayer times would be 45 minutes, an hour long. I'm not used to that kind of stuff. I can't be in that position that long without falling asleep. When they started to worship, it was a reverent submission because you would see the heart of worship start to open up in their lives, and they would just close their eyes, and they would start to worship. They were not charismatic at all because they come from the Russian Orthodox Church. They don't want to be charismatic, but they would lift their hands, they would lift their faces, and it's amazing. They were singing the same songs that we sing in a different language. And they had Kathy and I sing Because He Lives. We were singing that song, but it was in a different language. And we knew the tune. And you ought to hear them worship, because when they're worshiping, they're not worshiping with their lips. They're worshiping with the heart of worship that God has put in their hearts. Because tomorrow, they may get hauled away because they're a Christian. They lay in fear because they're a Christian. They have been sneaking around and having different home churches in the area because they're a Christian. And if they're caught, they're arrested. And there's no getting out of jail. It's a reverent submission to Almighty God. It is a bowing down before Him. When we saw what they were doing, see, people come today to hear the Word, and that's the next one, to hear the Word. And that's all well and good, to come to hear the Word. The Word should be heard. Amen? But if that's all that takes place, we don't really get very much from that. Because, see, worship is the number one priority. When we worship, then we have plowed the ground. We have tilled the soil. We have allowed our heart to be prepared to hear the Word. And when we have truly worshiped Him and we hear the Word, then the Word can sink deep into our hearts. It can sprout and it can start to grow and it can produce godly fruit. But when we worship with our minds or worship with just our lips, it's as though the Word falls short in our heart. It's good to come to hear the Word, but the number one thing is to first of all worship God and to allow the heart of worship that He's placed within us to be opened, that He might be able to anoint and touch our hearts so that when the Word is spoken, it does sink deep into our heart. It's amazing just how loving those Belarusians are. See, as Hitler came across the lands and the Nazis came across the lands, there would be entire villages that would be destroyed. You know what Arlington Memorial Cemetery looks like, with all of the crosses, and you look down this row and they're in perfect alignment, and you look down this row and they're in perfect alignment, and you look at a 45 and they're all lined up. They're perfectly lined up. Their cemetery is likewise the same. But every monument that's in that cemetery is an entire village that was slaughtered. Literally, hundreds of thousands of Belarusians were killed. They know what it's like to be persecuted. They know what it's like to not have any senior men because they've been killed. Most of their church today is comprised of women over the age of 70. And they're reaching out to kids. They're doing VBS, trying to get new kids. And it's not about go tell your mama to, so that they can come too. No, because there's a risk there. We come to worship and to hear the Word. But I know myself, I have come to church and worshiped and my mind has been far from here. And when I do that, I leave never having encountered Almighty God. What a waste. There's a decision that we must choose to make. A decision. I'd like to have you look with me in Matthew, the 15th chapter, for just a moment. Matthew, the 15th chapter. The scribes and the Pharisees are there, and they are talking to Jesus, and they're concerned. They're concerned because they see something going on with Jesus' disciples that frightened them. They see something going on that, well, it's just not kosher. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But when he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" You might say, what does this have to do with worship? Everything. The temple was there. Outside the temple is a place that is set up. It's like a fountain. And there are seats of stone around the fountain that people can sit at. Because before you can go into the temple, you have to cleanse yourself. You can't go in the way you are. So people will come and they will sit down, they'll take their sandals off, they will wash their feet, they will wash their hands, and they will wash their face. And there's water running all the time. And there's other people that are there as well doing the same thing. Because that was very important, because you could not go into the temple unless you were cleansed. You can't just go walking into the temple with dirty feet, dirty hands, dirty face. Absolutely not. But see, more than that, it was to give the individuals time to prepare. Because they were going to do something special in that temple. They were going to meet with God. The priest was going to meet with them and talk with them, and they were going to worship. And when they went to worship, they just couldn't go the way they were on the streets. They had to be purified. They had to be cleansed. And so they would take off their sandals and wash their feet, and they'd wash their hands and wash their face. And during that time that they were washing themselves, they were seeing their humanity in the reflection of the pool. And they would see their own humanity, because they're going to now go and meet with divinity. With that one that is divine. And they just couldn't go the way they came. They could not just enter into a place of worship straight off of the streets. That's why it was set up like that. Generations would go by. More generations would go by. More generations. Hundreds of years. Several hundreds of years. Thousands of years. And now, the scribes and the Pharisees are worried about the disciples washing their hands before they eat. The tradition had lost its meaning. The purpose had lost its meaning. There was no more preparation. There was no more cleansing. They weren't worried about that. They were worried about religious laws. Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? Not God. We need to choose. Because there are things in our lives that we do traditionally. Now, we're not a very traditional church here at Eastview. But there are things that we do personally out of habit, out of tradition. When we're coming into the presence of God, it is a holy thing. That's why the washing and the cleansing and the purifying was important. And that's why Jesus said, "Why is it you transgress the commandments of God by your traditions?" Later, just a few verses from that, he would say, "You worship God with your lips, but your heart is far from Him." It was all about worship. See, worship is a reverent submission to God. When they came to the place of worship, they would bow, they would kneel. And I believe we need to choose that when we come, we're going to block out all of the things of this world and focus solely on Him and who He is. Secondly, I believe that we need to see that true worship is a reverent submission to God. Did I say submission the first time? It's supposed to be obedience. Sorry. It's supposed to be obedience. A reverent submission to God. As we submit ourselves to Him. Worship means worth-ship. It means giving Him back the worth that He is due. It means giving it back to Him because He is the one that is worthy of our worship. He is the one that has placed the heart of worship within us. And it is the Holy Spirit's job to bring us to a point of worship. But we are the one that's responsible for allowing it to take place. It's a reverent submission. That's why when we come to a place of worship in our lives, it is a bowing down. A reverent submission. Look with me in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4, we're talking about the 24 elders in verse 10. And it says, "The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worshipped Him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You have created all things, and for Your pleasure they are and were created.'" You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. It is a bowing down, a reverent bowing down. When there were two kingdoms that were at war against each other, there would be a victor and there would be a loser. No one likes to lose. When the victor was victorious, he would send for the loser. And he would say, "Go get that loser and bring him to me." And that victor would make the loser bow and kneel before him, giving him surrender, giving him submission. When the kings came, Jesus was just 2 years old in the house. And they bowed down and worshiped Him. And they brought for Him gold and frankincense and myrrh. What did the gold represent? It represented the divinity, His divine life. What did the frankincense represent? It represented His humanity. What did the myrrh represent? His death. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. At the end of World War II, when Emperor Hirohito surrendered, I believe it was on the battleship Missouri, I believe. What was the general's name? It just left me. MacArthur. General MacArthur was there, and Hirohito came, and it was quite a ceremony. Hirohito had bowed and stepped forward and extended his hand. And MacArthur stood there. And these were the words that he said. He said, "I'll have your sword first." A surrender. A submission. See, for the emperor to take off his ceremonial sword and to hand it to the general was beyond Japanese comprehension. But that's the thing that made the difference. True worship is a reverent submission to God. It's a reverence. And that reverence is a fear. Not that we're afraid of Him, but that we reverence Him for who He is. When Moses met with Him on Mount Sinai, he said, "Oh God, if I could just see You." And He said, "Oh, that can't be. Because I cannot be in the presence of sin without destroying it. I'm so holy. But as I pass by, I will hide You in the cleft of the rock. And You can look on My hinder side as I pass by." When we surrender to that authority, when we are worshiping, we're saying, "God, we're just humans. God, we're frail. God, we can't take care of ourselves. God, we can't find our way. God, I need You in my life. God, I worship You because You have guided my path. I worship You because You have set my feet on solid ground. I worship You because You go with me through the dark valleys of death. I worship You because I see Your handiwork in my life and in the life of my family. You are the one that's worthy of our praise and adoration." And we reverently surrender and submit to Him. That's what those Belarusians were doing. They were in the presence of God. It was foreign to me. I had never worshipped like that before. I went to Dick Powell and I told him what was taking place. And he says, "Yeah, we got worship a little backwards, don't we?" He was my minister of music at Appleton City. True worship is a reverent submission. Thirdly, it's the result of the death of Christ. It is the result of the death of Christ. When Christ died, the veil was ripped in two. It was ripped in two. From the top to the bottom. Let me tell you, if an earthquake had ripped that veil, it would have been ripped from the bottom to the top. It wouldn't have been ripped from the top to the bottom. Look with me in Matthew 27. Matthew 27. In Matthew chapter 27. Verse 51. "And behold, the veil of the temple was ripped in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did shake." Worship is a celebration. If we truly understood what was done that day, worship would be a celebration that would last in our lives from Sunday to Sunday. When He died on the cross, He forgave us of all our sins. Amen? He forgave all of our past and present and future sins. Besides that, the Holy Spirit now has indwelt us so that He can guide us according to God's perfect will, so that we don't have to wonder which direction should we go. Not only that, when we have lived our lives, when we have served Him with our life, when we have gone the distance, and He calls us home, it's not going to be 12 Buncombe Woods Drive. Because that's not my home. That's my residence right now. It's only temporary. My home is in heaven, amen? And that's what worship is all about. It's the result of the death of Christ. If we truly understood that we are saved and that we're going to live in heaven, there ought to be a shout of celebration in this place because of what Christ has done on the cross for us. See, back then, as they would prepare themselves and wash their feet and wash their hands and wash their face, they would go into the temple area and there they would worship. And the priest was the only one that could go into the holy place. He was the one that would go in and offer the sacrifices. And then once a year he would go in even further to the Holy of Holies. Oh, people just were gathered around in the tabernacle. And when they built the temple, it was the same way. There was the holy place and the Holy of Holies. The thing that separated them was the veil. And when Christ died, God says, I no longer want a separation from my people. I want my people to come to me. You're all priests. You can come into the holy place. You can come into the Holy of Holies. And when you do, I place the heart of worship in you that you can now caress my face and love me because I am the one that is worthy of your worship. It is a reverent submission and surrender to Him. It's the result of the death of Christ. But fourthly, it is the reflection of our life. True worship is the reflection of our whole life. Dwayne and I have been working on some solar things. I'm just going to say solar things. I need not explain a Fresnel lens to everybody, okay? All right, so you see that there's a TV over there by the garage. Everybody's kind of wondering, where'd that TV come from? Well, it came from the alley up here. We just haven't thrown it in the trash yet. Anyway, there's a giant reflector in that TV because, see, that is a projection-type TV. The color comes up from the bottom, and it bounces off of this reflector, and it is then placed on that Fresnel lens, and that Fresnel lens enlarges it, and then you have the pixelation on the diffuser panel that makes it look alive. Isn't that wonderful? That whole thing works because of the reflection panel. Well, when we took the Fresnel lens apart, I took two more screws out and took the reflection panel out of there. And it's like tinfoil, but it's heavier than tinfoil. And I stood about 20 feet away from Dwayne, and the sun was about 4:30. And I looked at him in the garage area, And I looked at that son, and I looked at him, and I went, and I mean, I hit him with that light, and it was stronger than what the spotlight is. To the point that as soon as I hit him, he goes, oh, stop, that thing's hot. He was walking away. That reflection panel was so strong that he could feel the heat of the sun being reflected. Now, wouldn't that be great? If we had that kind of reflection power in our lives, that people would see Jesus in us instead of seeing us. See, at night we go out and we look at the moon. It's a beautiful thing. But it doesn't shine on its own. It only reflects the sun that's already set. The sun is glancing off of that and we're seeing that reflection. And see, that's what our lives need to be. True worship is a reflection of our entire life. It's who we are. It's what makes us distinct from the rest of the world. This is the giant rehearsal. Tonight we came in a little bit late. I know. We had choir rehearsal. And we'll work. The ladies worked their parts. The men worked their parts. And then she put those parts together and then do it over again. Don't breathe this time. Thanks. But we rehearse. And we rehearse. And we practice and rehearse. We rehearse. We rehearse. Is it Sunday, December 21st that we do that? That's the performance. We're in the rehearsal stage now. But the performance is December 21st. See, we are in the rehearsal stage now as Christians. But the performance is when we all get to heaven. Amen? That's when the performance takes place. And see, if true worship is a reflection of our whole life, then it is going to be a tremendous presentation, celebration taking place in the heavenlies. It should be all that everything we do, everything we say, everything we think, should be a reflection of worship. Today, Kathy and I went all the way to Wood River to eat lunch. My goodness sakes, we can't find a place closer than that. Well, there's a Chinese place over there that's just, yeah, it's good. It's worth the drive. It's the best. That's the name of it, by the way. Only problem was, there's construction on 255 between here and there. How many love construction zones? I didn't see a single hand, really. Well, if you're raising your hand, you're lying. Better get right. And you're supposed to slow down. They've got this thing that measures your speed. Slow down! And there are people that are driving the speed limit in front of me, and it's like, oh my goodness, they're not working today. Oh, will you come on? Ah, come on. You're driving 3 miles under the legal speed limit in a work zone. Come on. My insides are just going like this. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, let's worship the Lord. I'll worship the Lord with my foot. Well, see, I knew the message, by the way. So I started to worship the Lord with my foot. And you know, when I started to worship the Lord with my foot, and I was driving the speed limit that they said, there seemed to be no cars in front of me. And I look in my rearview mirror, and the guy behind me is going, "Come on!" And it's like, "Sorry, dude, this is a worship area." You know what happened in my heart then? There was no anxiety, animosity, anger, frustration, bitterness, nothing. But it was worshipful. Kathy, who was over there, she was humming on a tune that we sang this morning. And I'm just sitting there driving the speed limit, and my heart's going thump, thump, thump. It's not racing any longer. My life is good at that point. True worship is a reflection of our entire life. What we do, what we say, what we think. When we are working, when we are at home, when we are doing something, everything we do can be an act of worship. When we are mindful of God's presence in our lives and we allow Him to open up that heart of worship in our lives and we begin to worship Him away from this church and we sense His presence away from this church. And we're doing that on Monday and Tuesday. And Wednesday we get back together for just a little bit more of a pickup. And then Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And oh, it's a great day to go to church on Sunday and worship. Wouldn't it be great if every individual that came through that door had been worshiping all week long? And then it culminates on Sunday. That's what worship is. That's what worship is. When we have experienced Him all week long, and then we come together and we corporately experience Him, it doesn't get any better than that, this side of heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much. We thank You, Lord, for touching our hearts. We thank You for being here. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence, Your manifested presence in this place. We thank You for Your Word as it speaks to our hearts. We pray, Father, that as we leave tonight, that we will have met with You, that we will have done business with You. And Father, we thank You that You love us so much that You want to meet with us not just once a week, but every day. And Father, we thank You for that tremendous love that is shown to us through Jesus Christ. We pray now that You'll dismiss us with Your grace and mercy. Direct our paths that we might glorify You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.